At the risk of sounding a little blasphemous, I don't think Jesus was a fan of organized religion. Now, I'm talking about the human institution of religion. I think that's one of the things that becomes clear in this story of Jesus in the temple, confronting the money changers. It's worth noting that John's gospel tells this story at a very different place than the other three gospels. The other three put this story at the end of the ministry of Jesus, just before the story of the Passion. Almost as if they're saying this was one of the straws that broke the camel's back that made the religious leaders really want to get Jesus. John puts this story first. It's chapter 2 of John's gospel. Immediately before this story is the first miracle of Jesus, turning water into wine. And immediately, John then moves the story to the temple in Jerusalem. As if to say, this moment with Jesus in the temple is not just at the end of his ministry, it is essential to his ministry. This prophetic challenge to the church, to organized religion, is essential to the message of Jesus. And what is the message? It has something to do, I think, with passion. That's what the disciples think of when they see this happening, this line from Scripture, passion for your house consumes me. We don't often think of Jesus as passionate. At least I don't. You know, we have that image of Jesus, you know, those famous paintings of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, you know, on the hill with the lambs and the children. And he looks so peaceful and calm. And we forget that Jesus was passionate, particularly passionate about God and about our relationship with God. And so he comes into the temple, the house of God, his Father's house, and sees that people have forgotten their passion, the essence of the faith. This original idea of sacrificing to God, to give to God, what we might call stewardship, has become a business. There in the temple were sellers of the animals you need for sacrifice, doves and cattle and sheep. And you had to buy your sacrifice from them. And as you might suspect with human beings involved with selling something, in the temple the prices were higher. And you had to use special temple currency. Now, they justified this by saying the Roman coins have the Roman emperor's image on them. So we can't, those would desecrate the temple. So we'll mint our own money with no images on it, and you have to come in and exchange your money in the temple. Oh, and for the trouble of that exchange, there will be a little bit taken off the top. And Jesus comes in and says, in essence, this is not what you're supposed to be doing here. This is a place of worship, a place to come and relate to God and be aware of God's love for you, and you've turned it into a business, as humans often do. You've forgotten the essence. And in his passion, he pulls out a whip and drives them out. This can happen to human institutions over time. Remember, the Jewish religion had been around for centuries, for millennia. And it happens to us. We get used to doing things in a certain way. Or, remember, Jesus didn't leave any instructions for setting up churches or denominations. But we've done that over the years. I always think it's ironic that we have set up some of the largest, most cumbersome bureaucracies in human history in the name of someone who never told us to set up any system but to love. But it happens in churches and denominations. You start to focus on the rules and the regulations and how to do things and what to do and what not to do. And slowly, gradually, the church, the institution, becomes not the means to the end being the love and worship of God and the sharing of that love, but the church becomes the end itself. And all your energy gets focused on budgets and the color of the walls and the calendar. And you lose the essence, and we lose our passion. Because who here other than Gary is really passionate about budgets or things like that? And maybe even Gary isn't, but he puts on a good show for us. And you know, passion can seem a little foolish. We Presbyterians are not so good at passion. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, but that's our reputation. You know, what is it that they call us? The frozen chosen. We do things decently, orderly, committees, process. Now, there is a use for all those things. It's done to ensure equality and fairness. But again, we can sometimes shift our priorities, not to what are these here for, but that's our sole purpose, is to have committees and process and structure. And we get frozen. Jesus is reminding us it's about God and about love and about peace and joy and hope and justice and passion. And that can seem a little foolish in the world's eyes. Some of the people there in Jerusalem that day in the temple might have said, "What's this guy doing? Pretty foolish to make such a fuss about the money changers. They're just going to be back tomorrow. What's all the fuss? It's a little foolish to try and walk across a bridge in Selma for voting rights. Maybe foolish to remember it and do it again 50 years later, especially with an African-American president. Haven't we solved all those problems?" Passion and foolishness are what the kingdom of God is all about. And so let me leave you with a couple of questions. I invite you in this season of Lent, which most people don't think of as a passionate season either. It's a season to give up. I can't wait for Easter so I can eat chocolate again. But Lent is about re-examining our lives, our relationship to God and each other. And so let me ask you, encourage you to do some of that this week. And as you do, to ask yourself some questions. Are you still passionate in your relationship with God? Has that passion been sapped at all? If it has, what is it that's getting in the way of your passion for God? You might also think about, if Jesus were to walk through the door of our church this morning, would he have a whip in his hand? And what would he be overturning and driving out that gets between us and God? Where is our passion for God as individuals and as a church? And if we've lost some of it, how do we get it back? Now, admittedly, these are foolish questions. Absolutely foolish. Divinely foolish. Amen.